All right. Welcome back. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this second session, the time that we have to fellowship and just to learn more about who you are as our God. We thank you for the provision that you provide and the grace that you give us, and we just ask that we can learn more and more every day to be a better Christian and to glorify you. We thank you in all these things. We ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, and talking about the testing of your faith, and I think we left off with talking about complaining. You know, complaining is one of those things that I think I probably did more than most people as a kid. I don't know why. I used to complain quite a bit. And but you know, I think you learn and you grow and you live life a little bit and you realize that it doesn't do you much good to complain. And all it does is actually put you in a worse position than you were before you were complaining, because it keeps putting that negative outlook on what's happening around you, and what it really exhibits is your discontentment with the circumstance, which is the complete opposite of what we're supposed to be doing in the testing of our faith. It's not the testing of your faith to be discontent. It's the testing of your faith to have what it says right here, to have this endurance that is the perseverance that it's referring to. So, and I did want to show you a passage that talked about our command to not do this. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing. This is Philippians 2:14. And this is a command. This is a command. So, and you know, as human beings, we all have a tendency to go in this direction if we're not satisfied with the circumstance. Easy to do, right? Everybody can complain at the drop of a hat. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because it's part of your calling to not only look at things differently, but to be the example that we're supposed to be. And what complaining does is it detracts from that example. Because when we complain about the circumstances, we're basically saying that we're not happy with what's happening. And we're not sure what God is doing, and we actually don't care about what God is doing because we're too busy complaining. So, and by the way, this complaining, some translations say grumbling. This includes questioning, getting angry, verbally complaining, of course. Basically, anything that causes you to lose your contentment. To lose your contentment. I would include that here because, you know, complaining is something that's just the result of what you're thinking, is really what it is. The thought process is really where complaining starts. If you're not happy, angry, discontent, that happens up here and then it comes out here, right? We'll let you know about it. We'll let you know about what we don't like or what we don't want to do. And so I would say, stop it before it gets to the verbal aspect or before it comes out in the expression of your attitude, because that's when we really start to feel the effects of the thought process that we're going through in our mind. So, but this again is the command for all Christians to follow. And it says, you know, it doesn't say do some things. It says do everything. Do everything. And I would say that includes the testing that you find yourself in. Going through, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Arguing is one of those things that just shows another fact that you are discontent with whatever's happening in the circumstance. So, you can understand what's happening here, but I just wanted to point it out because, in the very next verse, we're given the purpose of why we are not to complain. In the very next verse right here. Verse 15 says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Sounds like a perseverance type of verse, doesn't it? It does. It does. But you can see what's happening here. There is an example to be said. And when I saw this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, that's what we're in. That's what we're in today. We're in a midst of darkness. And I love the reference to our theme, lighthouse theme. It says, so you appear as lights in the world. That's the reality. If we're going to learn anything, we have to learn how to be a light in the dark world that we find ourselves in. And it started off with not complaining or disputing. That's how this verse started off. So Christians aren't just meant to be Christians on the inside. We're called to be Christians on the outside. That's definitely clear in Scripture. And so I think that's an inevitable reality if you are actually learning and growing in the way that we should. So, but again, this takes consistency on your part. It takes consistency. We can easily get consistent in complaining or having a bad attitude, and you'll continue down that road if you allow yourself to. So we've got to be consistent on reversing the trend, right? But the only way to appear as light in the world is by thinking the truth. That's it. The world knows and understands darkness. That's what Satan's domain is. It's the darkness, right? Which is all about covering the truth, concealing the truth, changing the truth. And so if you want to shine your light in the darkness of the world, is you do that by thinking truth and by committing to what you stand for and what you stand on as a Christian. And that's why I think what you say and how you act has a big impact and effect on that. What we say and what we do has an impact and an effect on shining your light in the world, and whether you do that or not. So, you know, this is something that takes constant maintenance. Constant maintenance. It takes consistency. It takes perseverance. It does. It takes perseverance to shine your light in the world. Because remember, we're Christians, we're called to be set apart. Well, just the fact that you are set apart means that you're going to feel the burden of going against the dark world that you live in. That's just part of the reality that you face, is to think differently means to feel the effects of thinking differently, which you have a sin nature in your body. And if we're going to do what this verse is saying, prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we have to begin to not only defeat that sin nature in our own personal lives, but set that example that we have and that is made a reality through following examples like this specific verse. So, and that takes constant awareness. It takes sharpening. It takes you being on top of your own spiritual health and your spiritual life. Otherwise, there is no possible way to do this, because it doesn't take one week or one day a week and think that you're going to ever be able to shine your light in the world. This is a daily thing. And this is something that's we've got to stay on top of. So, and this is why you hear words in verse 16 that have to do with perseverance. You know, this is shining your light in a dark world takes verse 16. You hear these words, listen to these words that take the maintenance and constantly staying on top, holding fast to the word of life. This is a word that is interesting. And by the way, this is how we prove ourselves right here in verse 16. Holding fast to the word of life. Holding fast here means to maintain a grasp on the very word that gives us life. That's what the verse is referring to. It's referring to the Word of God as your word of life, is how it refers. And it's talking about grabbing it and not letting go. You know, when I think about grabbing something, I think about sometimes that your grip gets weak. Sometimes your grip gets weak, and if you have to grab something for an extended period of time, it can be a challenge. It can be a challenge. Sometimes you have to let go of it, reorient your hands, stretch them out, and get back on that grip. But that's the word, holding fast. It doesn't just say grab it and not let go. It says hold fast to it. In other words, there's going to be some tiring happening in that while you're holding. There's going to be some weakening of your grip. There's going to be some thoughts of maybe letting go for a little bit of time. Just the nature of the beast, right? It's the nature of the body and the limitations that you find yourself in. So the reason why I wanted to point that out is because holding fast requires training at doing so. It requires training at doing so. If we want to hold for longer periods of time, that requires you to maintain your spiritual life in a strengthening kind of way that takes your daily Bible study that we all need on a consistent basis. Otherwise, holding fast will not be a concept that you really can grasp or that you even have a hold of. And then here's the other word. This is actually the other benefit. It says, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now, we've already talked about the future benefit of persevering. And I think this is another reference to that. And it's talking about the day of Christ, which is the day that each Christian will be judged for how they live their life on this earth. And I love that it's there, because we have a lot of Christians that are faking the Christian life. That's just the reality, right? And the reason they're doing that is because they would rather please you and what you think and what you believe about them than what God thinks. And God sees the heart, and God will judge the heart and judge those deeds and those works and how we lived our life on this earth. And this specific verse is talking about persevering and holding fast to the word of life. In other words, making it a part of your life, a part of your thinking, and holding fast to that. So, perseverance is something that is rewardable. And Paul mentions the day of Christ here, but this is the day where all Christians will be evaluated for how you lived on this earth. And we're going to look at a few verses that talk about this. But what I'm getting you to notice is that there are rewards to reap for how you live while you are here. Everybody's, you know, big into investments and insurance and all these things. Well, think about this investment. Think about this one. Most insurance, I feel like I'm just throwing my money right out the window. Not here. Not in this one. Everything that you do, every decision that you make is counted as possibly payback or reward for making the right decision that glorifies God. That's just a reality. And that's what God is offering us. And that's what he tells us. So we can't run the spiritual race without a purpose. And that's what Paul is saying here. You cannot do that. And that's why he understands the persevering aspect of the spiritual life, because he mentions a race, running. Running takes perseverance, especially at longer distances, right? We get tired. We need water. And the sooner you get tired means you're not in shape. So Paul is saying, I didn't run while wasting my time. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people running in the Christian life that are wasting it. They're running in vain. They're doing it not as unto the Lord, but as unto people. And that's why Paul mentions that here. So take these things to heart, because one thing that's important about this is Paul is talking about have a reason to glory on the day of Christ. Do you understand that there's a lot of people that aren't going to have a reason to glory on the day of Christ? I'm not saying they lost their salvation. I'm saying they won't have a reason to glory because they didn't have any perseverance, any holding fast to the word of life. Or maybe they have some, but we're talking about the believer who is consistent and faithful in doing so. And I don't expect anyone to do that 100% or even to do that all your life or even from the point you became a believer. But what I do think is that we can all come to the point in our lives where we get to this place and to where we have a turning point in our lives and we understand the purpose of our life is to do this, what this verse is telling us. So we don't want to run in vain is what I'm getting at. And this is, I want to come all the way back to James 1. And I'm going to go to the next verse. But remember, we left off, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then here's verse 4. It says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This word perfect here can be a little confusing when they use this translation. The actual word means full result. Full result. Let the endurance have its full result in your life. It can also mean mature. So there's a development that's happening. There's a result that we're God is working in you and getting you to that point of allowing the perseverance or the endurance to have its result. So back to verse 12, still looking at the results or the benefits here. And I think you can all understand this first part now. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Now, next we have an approval. It says, for once he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, this word approval means testing for genuineness, is what it's referring to. That's exactly what I was telling you. Remember, we're all going to be judged, and it's all going to be tested to see if it's acceptable before God. It actually doesn't really matter what we think. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if we see, oh, that was, they were the most charitable person. They were the nicest person. They were the most loving person. All that may be great, but what matters is, will it be approved? Will it be approved? That's really what we're looking for, because this is what matters is it acceptable to God? Remember, this has to do with righteousness and the Holy Spirit. We can't detach spiritual things from the works that we do in this life. Otherwise, how can they be acceptable to God? They can't. So, approval. Uh-oh, we all kind of got straight in our chairs here. Now, and I mentioned earlier that there's people running in vain and will not necessarily see the glory that Paul was excited to see. Now, they'll have to face this approval or evaluation, I'd rather call it, as well. Because they'll have to go through, will what I have shown up with at the end of this race be approved? Or is it acceptable by God? Will it pass the divine sniff test, is what we can say. And I think the reason I'd call it that is because it definitely has to include God and the Holy Spirit to be acceptable to him. So everything we do as a Christian will have to be determined if it is acceptable before God and therefore approved. That's just how it works. The word approved here means, I told you, it means being genuine on the basis of testing. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:18. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. This is what I was telling you about. It doesn't really matter how we think or what we see as good or bad or indifferent or acceptable or unacceptable. What matters is what the Lord approves of, or as this verse says, commends. So I just wanted to point that out, because we have a tendency to look at some people and say they're the most godly person we've ever met. And that may be true. But there's a certain aspect that we're detached from that we cannot see the heart. We have no idea what's happening on the inside. We see the outside, but we don't see what's going on the inside. And we know that they have a sin nature. We know that for a fact. And we know that they do sin. So, another good verse to see this reward that you have coming is Revelation 22:12. Actually, before we get to Revelation, Revelation 22:12. Let's go there first. I'll go back to Galatians. It says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to each man according to what he has done." That's scripture. I didn't make that up. I know some people think I was making up all what I talked about earlier, but this verse right here is truth. It's truth. Jesus is coming with a reward, and he's coming to render to each man according to what he has done. That's what this is saying. Now, we have to realize that we're living not for ourselves, but for a much bigger purpose that we always talk about here. And some of these purposes have to do with your future recompense as far as reward is concerned. Reward. There's something to look forward to here. It's not all doom and gloom in the circumstances that you're in. And so we don't want to live our life in vain. And I think Paul clearly understood what that meant. Go to Galatians 1:10 and you can see what I mean. It says, "For I'm now seeking the, Paul's asking a question. He says, "Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ or a slave of Christ." And this is the attitude, I think, that has to go into realizing that not only are we here for a purpose, but we're here to look forward to something that is being received as far as your works are concerned at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ. Paul has the attitude, he's not seeking the favor of men. And he says that very clearly. And he said, if I were still trying to please men, I surely wouldn't be a slave of Christ. So, that's something to think about, because it's a different kind of attitude that you go into this with if you're interested in any kind of glory or rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And what I want you to notice here in this verse, Revelation 22:12, is that the crowns we're talking about are considered, this is something that is considered rewards. Rewards. And the only thing I wanted to mention about rewards is rewards are, the Bible uses the word reward after something is done or following successful completion of something, right? And we can all understand that concept. When you get a reward, it's usually after an event. The events that the Bible referred to are a running event. Or Paul uses a fighting event. He says, when I run, I don't run in vain. In other words, I don't waste my time. And so we can understand a running event. You get maybe first, second, or third. You get a reward for the running. The running takes an effort. There's an effort on your part as a believer. That's work. There's Christian work involved here. There's deeds that are being produced in the life of the believer. That is different from a gift. Salvation is referred to not as a reward in the Bible, but it's referred to as a gift. And that's a very something to keep in mind, because so many people confuse these two things and they say that salvation is a reward because it's something you're working for, when actually just the opposite is true. Salvation is something you're given as a free gift. And we do have verses showing us this. that we'll get to in 1 second, but by all indications, if you receive a crown, you can be certain that you've actually at least lived the Christian life in a successful manner as unto the Lord. And 2 Timothy 4:8 tells us another interesting point, that if you receive the crown of life that this verse is talking about, you are most likely going to receive another crown with it. Here's the verse I wanted to show you. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, gift, not the same as a reward. And then here is, well, here you go. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but all those who have loved his appearing. Have loved his appearing. What we need to understand about persevering in this world and not persevering in vain is that if you've done it in a constructive manner and glorifying to God, we will look forward to the Lord's appearing. Because you're not only prepared, you're not only doing things that you're awaiting a future reward for, but you're anticipating that reward, and part of that means seeing the coming of Jesus Christ, coming back. But not everybody will feel that way. A lot of times, you know, people aren't very excited to see the boss. And there's a reason for that. It's because they hadn't been doing too much work. But on the other hand, some people are very productive, active, in the company, and they do get pretty excited sometimes, or at least it doesn't faze them when the boss is around because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's really what this is boiling down to, because it says to all who have loved his appearing means all who are anticipating it. Do you mind if the boss comes around or he's coming? I don't know. Hopefully you're prepared is what I'm getting at here. So, and that's why this is qualified with the word love. That's exactly why love is here. So we all want to be eager to see Jesus, but that can only be a reality is if in your life, if you grow in that relationship to get to a point of loving him. You anticipate him if you love him. So, here's one of the verses that Paul uses a reference to, the race I was referring to, 2 Timothy 4:7. I didn't give you that one either. Here it is. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race or the course. I've kept the faith. Perseverance. Here's another verse about perseverance. And I think this is an attitude we all at least have a chance to have. We all are here for a very specific purpose, for a very specific amount of time. And God has given you at least the ability to have this same attitude that Paul had in this verse. Every single one of us here. You didn't think you can get out of here without a struggle, did you? The word fought here means just that. It refers to a fight. It refers to a fight, a struggle. And there's an emphasis on the word fight with an effort being exerted. And it's referring to the Christian life that you're living. It is a fight, isn't it? It's a race and it's a fight. It's a battle. We're in a battle, spiritual battle. And yes, it is going to take some energy and exertion on your part. I think we can all agree up to this point in living the Christian life that there is definitely a necessary effort that has to be put up. There's got to be an effort there. And that's why he uses the word fight. When you think about that in the spiritual realm, makes perfect sense. And the word path here, see where Paul says, or I have finished the course. This word is referring to a movement on a path from one point to another. That's what we do, right? We're Christians. We start at salvation and we move from one point to another. But how successful you are at that is another story. And every word that we're seeing here is the fight, is the effort, is the race, is the perseverance that is being called upon us to do, to persevere in. But all this, I think, revolves around this last phrase here. I have kept the faith. You can't do any much fighting, and you can't finish the course without this last part right here. I've kept the faith. Remember that holding fast to the word of life that we saw? This goes right in line with that, keeping the faith. You're not going to be doing much holding without trusting what you're holding on to. Keeping the faith, trusting in what God is doing, patience all go into play with everything that we've been studying. And you know what? We can all do this and we're all very capable of it, but this is what the Christian life should look like right here. And the attitude that we should have as far as faith is concerned. Keeping the faith. Can we do that 100%? No. But can we do it the majority of the time? Yes. Yes, we can. I like this word. It means to retain custody, to keep watch over, to guard. And guess what? That takes effort. It takes effort on your part to maintain custody of the faith you have in God's Word, in Jesus Christ, in everything that you know as far as spiritual life is concerned. It takes a daily refreshing of truth in your life to give you the inspiration, to give you the motivation, to give you the constant movement forward that you need. We're all Christians. We're all humans, which means we're all going to get bogged down at times. But keeping the faith requires you to keep moving forward, one step after the other, day by day application. So there's no reward without faith. There's no reward without faith. You can't have the reward without keeping the faith. You can't do it. I would say, do you trust the things that we learn to the point of putting them to use in your life? That's a good question to ask yourself. I think that's what persevering is all about. Most of the time, we almost missed another one of these things we can look forward to in persevering earlier. Approval and the rewards, but also the fact that this is something that is promised. Look back in our verse, James 1:12. He will receive the crown of righteousness, receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised. Promised to those who love Him. Now, I love the word promised because it means to declare to do something with implication and obligation to carry out what is stated, a promise. Now think about that when you think about God's promises. God's promises. There's a lot of promises, thousands, right? Here's one of those promises, that this is definitely something that you will receive without a doubt if we do it according to God's stipulations. There's the rub, right? Are we doing it according to how God wants us to do it? Well, hopefully we are. So, despite what Satan is trying to do and disprove God's promises, His promises will stand forever, forever. And I think that gives every Christian the not only motivation, but the inspiration to keep moving forward, because the Word of God is the Word of God. And His Word lasts forever. It's eternal. And what it says is something that we can definitely look forward to, not just in a moment in time, but for the rest of your life. A promise is something you can stand on. It's something you can stand on. So, His Word is truth, right? It won't change. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Another one of those verses talking about endurance, talking about receiving something that God has promised, which we saw from other verses, is that reward. The reward. And there's so many verses that speak of perseverance. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. I didn't mention this in our study of Jesus, but I don't even know if I read the last verse, verse 43, but one thing that's interesting about application is an understanding that God provides in the circumstance we're in with exactly what we need when we need it, is that there's always a level of comfort that is provided. And we can see that here in the last moments after Jesus passed the last test by Satan. This was in Luke verse 43, the last time we looked at it, and it said this: Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, this is Jesus, strengthening him. Jesus just got through persevering, passing the test, and look what's happening. He's being strengthened. We just saw that this is what builds endurance. Going through the test in life is what builds you as a Christian to overcome bigger and better problems and circumstances, that testing that God wants to put in your life. Look what he's doing to Jesus. He said, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. It's not saying that he was physically relieved. It's saying that he was spiritually strengthened right here. That's the way I take strengthening here. The angels came and strengthened him. He was still dealing with the limitations of the physical pains of the body. He was praying fervently. In other words, he wasn't giving up on his solution to the Father, and he knew his position within the plan. We have to understand where our position is, where we fall in the plan, and know that there's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering, but look what happens in every case. There's happiness to be found in the circumstance. Remember, the blessed is the man? There's also things to look forward to about understanding and realizing what we have in the circumstance. There's also things to look forward to about making the right decisions from persevering and glorifying the Lord. Two things to look forward to, present and future. And then most importantly, I think, it's making you better for doing it again and you being used by God in more important and strategic ways. I think that is something definitely to look forward to. But this strength that Jesus was given is not an accident, and it's for us to realize that we have access to the same strength. We have access to this exact same strength. So, you know, wherever you find yourself, whatever you find yourself doing, continue to strengthen your faith. Continue to strengthen your faith. There's no better solution than to be able to do it in a better way, right? I mean, God offers us that. You've got to continue to trust Him in your direction in life, and also stand firm on the truths that you find yourself studying and learning each and every day. I would say it's a great time to be a Christian. It's a great time to be a Christian. Yes, I understand we're dealing with a lot of things with our country, people turning away from God. We're having to step up and say things that maybe people don't like or don't appreciate as far as truth is concerned. But at the end of the day, there's so much opportunity out there for people like you who are learning and growing spiritually to do things that are as unto the Lord and have a huge impact in this world. Huge impact. There's so much opportunity out there as far as living the Christian life is concerned. Everywhere around you, there's opportunity. You may not realize it. You may not think about it, but there's somebody around you that you're impacting. You're influencing all the time. And you know, if we're seeking truth, I think we can be successful at this, but God will open the door for people that have the capacity to walk through the door. If you don't have the capacity to walk through the door that God continually tries to open in your life, but you keep asking God to open the door, why would He open the door if we're not ready for the door to be opened? Great time to be a Christian, but if you're not interested in learning and growing and persevering, which means a little bit of fire under you, well then, guess what? There's not much doors to be open that you're going to experience. So if it's persecution that's in your future, then it's persecution, right? We have to remember the things we learn, like contentment, and apply those things. Not just when something hits, we've got to have the information before the problem strikes. And that's a key thing to remember too. So anyways, when something does out of the ordinary happen, guess what? What takes over? Your training. Something out of the ordinary hits, circumstances change, you revert to the training that we've been learning and studying each and every week in this class. So anyways, I think you've heard enough on persevering, at least for this short little mini series that we've been in, but I hope you've gain some insight from it, because you know it's something that we have to do every day. And you can either be successful or you can be a failure at persevering in the Christian life. And I pray that everybody here is successful at it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the insight, the having the discernment to understand not only your word, but to discern what's happening in our own lives, to calculate what we need to do and where we need to be in your plan and your will for our life. We thank you so much for the ability to be an example, to look to Jesus Christ, to set that example for us. And I pray that we can do it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.